Father, we thank you.
Hallelujah.
Because of the great thought in your heart to have a son.
Hallelujah.
And we thank you because in your mind you have a son.
Yeah.
And we thank you for the light that you have sent forth to create your son in us. And Lord, we come to that baptism of fire. We stand upon the altar of consecration, that all that defile, all that is not of you, might be judged. Until we come forth like gold. Lord, we pray you might release upon us the breath of life, that which will form in us again this not just living soul, but Lord, even that soul of a life-giving spirit. And Lord, we come to receive ability to move out of this realm, these realms of carnality. We might break out of the covering, the matrix. We might come into that glorious liberty of the inhabitants of heaven, of being inhabitants of heaven. Lord, that you might give us the ability to walk in the Spirit, to live in the Spirit, that we will lose every ability to be those who draw life from these realms of the earth. For the time is far gone. I will ask, O God, that your fire will fall upon us even this night.
Amen.
Let there be a breath of life.
Amen.
Of light even in the midst of darkness.
Amen.
We thank you for the table that you have spread before us.
Hallelujah.
We thank you for that which you have given.
Yeah.
I will pray you will press it down.
Yeah.
We will shake it together.
Amen.
You will cause it, Lord, to well up. Lord, in the days ahead, we will have the ability, we will have the grace to chew the cud, that this world might be made flesh. It might be made flesh, O God, to the praise and glory of your name.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
So we pray that you might give seed to the sower and bread to the eater.
Amen.
Let there be light, O God. Let there be bright shining light.
Amen.
In the darkness of our souls.
Amen.
Lord, let our minds be agitated to come up to the place where we might have fellowship with you. Where deep may call up to thee. Blessed be your name. In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
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 Amen. I want to read from Isaiah chapter 2. Isaiah chapter 2. I'm going to read the first 5 verses. So the one that Isaiah, the son of Amoz, saw concerning Judah and Jerusalem. And it came to pass, and it shall come to pass in the last days, that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established in the top of the mountain, and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow unto it. And many people shall go and say, come ye, and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. And he will teach us of his ways, and we will walk in his path. For out of Zion shall go forth the law, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And he shall judge among the nations, and shall rebuke many people, and they shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. O house of Jacob, come ye, and let us walk in the light of the Lord. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, in this passage, there are three categories, three steps. Much like the outer court, the holy place, and the holiest of all. So there are three groups, three levels. And he calls it Israel and then Jerusalem. And there's a third group, Zion. And we are familiar with the outer court, with the holy place, and the holiest of all. And you know, for a long time, we as a people, we have operated only in certain dimensions. But brethren, we've come to the time when the history of man is changing. As Brother Bot was sharing a while ago, you know, God, when he was making, you know, making man, had a certain design in his heart. And he has a certain purpose. And I believe that we have come to that time when the reality of what God has in mind is being revealed. And it may be difficult for you to understand. And that is why God sent an example amongst us. That Jesus was Zion, walking on the earth. Amen. Jesus was the Holy of Holies man. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes when certain things are said, you know, you begin to think about it. It's really difficult to understand what God is saying. And that was why God did not want you to be ignorant. And he didn't want me to be ignorant. He sent a living example. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And this living example, he says, is the Son of Man and Son of God. Anybody anybody that is anybody in the world knows that there is something that's happening, that the tide is changing. Amen. The world is rising up against God. The time of Sodom is here with us. Amen. And the reason is that God is about to change the game. And the game is that God is speaking of Zion. Amen. In the Bible, the Bible gives us a history of temples. A temple is a place where a spirit lives. Amen. It's possible that we all may have different interpretation of what a temple is. A place where if you don't have money, you go, you get money. And all such situations. But that's not what's in God's mind. And that's not what the devil understands. A temple in your village is a place where a spirit lives, you know. Amen.
Amen.
So there is nobody in this room who doesn't understand that. But the devil will want us to conveniently put that aside. And then imagine that a temple is something else.
Amen.
A temple is a house or a realm of experience. You can actually use any word that is good for you. Where a spirit dwells. A spirit is not limited by physical space. If you submit to idolatry, the spirit that you worship, you cannot tell that spirit how it will manifest. So, God has a picture in his mind when he's speaking about temple. Because he is speaking of himself. God is building a house. And the Bible says God is a spirit. And those who worship him must worship him in that dimension. Must worship him with that understanding. Say, for such does God seek to worship him. So there is something that God is looking for. There is something he is seeking for. He is looking for a spiritual minded people. Amen.
Amen.
God is a spirit. And the people who worship him must worship him in the dimensions of the spirit. Amen.
Amen.
So he's speaking of Jerusalem. He is speaking of Israel. He is speaking of Zion. Therefore, he is speaking of different dimensions of the spirit. Even though Israel is a natural place, it has a history. Jerusalem is a natural place. It has a history. Zion is a natural place. It has a history.
Amen.
But the word of God that comes to you, every time God speaks, he speaks in three dimensions. The woman was speaking about the well. The woman was looking at the natural well. But Jesus was looking at the natural well, the spiritual well, and he was speaking of the soul. I don't know if you understand.
Yeah.
When God speaks, he speaks at three levels at the same time. And when we operate, we only look at the natural, just one dimension. And that is the problem of the church. The end time church was raised by God to solve that problem. About 30 years ago, some of us were still rascals in the medical school. And then we began to hear this word. Paesin began to speak.
This word.
And a few others. And then Brother Seth came later on with this word. God had a hope. And the hope was that he was looking for a people that will solve a problem. And not be part of the problem. But today, the end time church is the problem. Amen. Because you and I have refused to progress. Where we can operate along with God in those three levels. In the Old Testament, you had the priesthood. But wherever you have a priesthood, you must have a priest. You cannot be a priest until you are dressed, until you wear the clothes of a
priest.
The clothes that consecrate you. The dressing of the prince was what consecrated him to function as a priest. Amen.
Amen.
When God speaks, he desires a people that will be able to understand. So in the spirit, God desires to have a temple. He desires to have a priest that will function in that temple. And he desires to have a priest that will bring sacrifices. So there are natural temples. Just as the Bible said, there are bodies natural. There are bodies spiritual. So there are temples natural and there are temples spiritual. Amen.
Amen.
But you see, the devil will want you and I to stop at that level. But there is a fulfillment of every word of God. And that fulfillment of the word of God is in the soul. Amen.
Amen.
So you have those three levels. The natural, the spiritual, and the fullness of the spiritual. The fullness of the spirit is speaking about the soul. But the soul itself has dimensions. Amen.
Amen.
There are different types of soul. There are different natures of the soul. There are different operations of the soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Christ is coming for a bride. The bride of Christ must be able to function like the bridegroom. Because if the bride and the bridegroom are not compatible, then they will not be. Amen. Christ came as a living example that a man can have the fullness of God dwelling in him bodily. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I don't know if you understand that.
Amen.
The Bible says and speaks about the principles of the doctrine of Christ. I'm trying to be as deliberate as possible. Now, what does Christ mean? Christ is the Son of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Son of God has been before the foundation of the world. The Son of God has been in eternity before time began. And when time ends, the Son of God will still continue. Hallelujah. Okay, let me take it again. Christ is the Son of God. He has been in eternity. Amen.
Amen.
And he was there at the beginning of time. And at the end of time, he will still be there. And he will continue forever. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The purpose of Christ being manifested on the earth is for the Spirit of Christ to be multiplied. Okay, put it this way. For God to pour himself into different vessels of the earth. Because the Bible says, if the same Spirit that was in Jesus, I'm sure you will forgive me if I just stop at Jesus. Okay, you feel better if I say Christ Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You say, if the same Spirit that was poured into Jesus, if that same Spirit is poured into you,
Amen.
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 Let me see.
Do you understand where God is coming from? He said, let this mind be in you, which was in Jesus, who is the Christ. Okay, so I have to always add that so that you don't see this brother has come with another new one. Amen.
Amen.
But if you permit me, I can move faster.
Amen.
Amen. So let this same mind, which was in Christ Jesus, that he did not think it robbery. He didn't think it's not God's mind that Christ should be limited to one bodily manifestation alone. Amen.
Amen.
It's not God's plan that the fullness of
Christ
should be manifested only in that bodily vessel called Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The Bible told, you know, we prophesied and said, you shall call his name Emmanuel. You shall call his name Emmanuel. What does it mean? God in, not God in us. God in me. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that God is manifesting on the earth. It has always been God's plan to walk and talk and manifest on the earth. And that's why Brother Bud was saying, God is not interested in church. A church has a life of its own. When God leaves a church, it becomes bigger and wider and more popular. Okay, you didn't hear that. When God has departed from a church, it becomes bigger, popular, richer, and everything. When God leaves, it doesn't need God. It has a life of its own. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So it will do everything. When God left Gibeon, they were still bringing sacrifices. Amen. But when God leaves a fellowship, he dies. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is not interested in church. He is interested in a body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that body is defined by Zion. That is human vessel with the fullness of Godhead bodily. That is what the Bible means by temple. So it says, if you send spirit, not second class spirit, the same spirit of Christ dwell was in Jesus. He said, the same spirit will be in a people and will raise them up also. Amen. I want to talk about that raising up this night. Amen. I want to talk about the Greek word is egeiro, a gyro. It means to wake up from sleep. Amen.
Amen.
That is, somebody was sleeping and you have to wake him up. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 There is an experience that is in man. There is an experience in me. And that experience is called darkness. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible says that the creature was made subject. God allowed the creation to be made subject. He is doing the experiment. He knows the factors of the experiment. He controls the factors of the experiment. He knows what to manipulate and what not to manipulate, that he might have the final product. Amen. So he allowed the darkness to come into man. Now, that doesn't mean anything to you. So let's put it in a way that will be more meaningful to you. He allowed darkness to come into me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. That is, darkness is already there. I am born. Beautiful child. They throw a party for me. Break the bag for me. The darkness is inside. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I must overcome the darkness.
Amen.
Amen. And there is a measurement, there is a standard for overcoming darkness. And that standard is called the beastly nature. Amen. Do we have any problem with that? Okay, no problem. Okay, I can go on. So it's called the beastly nature. There is only one standard given. Revelation 15 gives us that standard. Because of time, I can't slow down to read the scriptures for you, but I trust that you'll be able to deal with them later. In Revelation 15, it gives us standards. This has nothing to do with church or what you call end time or beginning time. All those things are English language. There is only one language that is understood in the spirit, and it is the language of the beast, and it is the language of darkness. Amen.
Amen.
He said that these are they that have overcome the beast, that have overcome his image, that did not worship the beast, that did not receive the mark of the beast, or did not, of course, and stood about the number of his name. He said that this one shall be priests of God. And they shall be the priest of Christ. Christ is synonymous with that long Hebrew word called Melchizedek. Melchizedek is a long grammar word. But you say it is an experience or that which is brought forth of the Spirit. It has no beginning, no natural beginning, no natural ending. Clearly, it is not of the natural dimension. The Bible says it is first natural, then spiritual. I want you to know that man is first natural. The expiry date of the natural man is soon coming to an end. I don't know if you understand. The expiry date of the natural man is coming, running fast to an end. And very soon, the spiritual man will come forth on the earth. But these things are not cliches or things to get excited about. They are realities. Because there was a man called Jesus. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Pilate says, I find no fault in this God. Is that what he said? I find no fault in this God. So come and see a God, though. I have no problem with this God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The lifespan of the natural man is coming to an end. No, I don't know about you. I have a problem. My problem is that of old wine. Amen.
Amen.
God is telling me it's over. And I say, God, I still want to enjoy some part of it. You
understand?
The Bible says, no man having drunk of the new wine.
Eh?
Wait, no. No man having drunk of the old wine. Quickly desires the new. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You see, the name of the game is soul. See, and the devil understands it better than you and I. The name of the game is the soul. The soul of man is a realm of the universe. If so, how will God be able to dwell in you? Do you know who God is? For God to say He will come in and dwell in you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is more to you than meets the eye. The Bible says we are fearfully and wonderfully made. That wonderfully made is not that you become going to run around with you and be disturbing
people.
He's telling you, look inside.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Look inside.
Yes, sir.
He says there are four realms of life. Somebody said that they are living creatures. Somebody said it's a lion. The other one is like an eagle, isn't it? The other one is a wild ox. The other one is a confused creation. The other one is a confused creation. He doesn't know whether he should forever be a creation of the Spirit. He doesn't know whether he should forever be bound on the earth like a
baby.
He is excited by the things of the earth. He is excited by the things of the Spirit. He has the face of a man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That's the desire. The desire is like a beautiful young woman who has four brothers who want to marry her. One works in Shell. The other one works in Chevron. The other one works in Mobil. The other one works for LNPC. She's confused. She likes all of them. She likes all of them. But she doesn't know which one to take. Every day she says, "Oh God, God, have mercy on me." Amen. There is a reality within the soul. And brethren, that's where church should begin. And Jesus began from there. They asked him, which is the greatest commandment? So I will tell you. He said, soul. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Isn't that what he said? Say, you love the Lord your God with your soul. With your soul. And with your soul.
Amen.
Amen. He said, this is the sixth and greatest commandment. It's the beginning and the end. Amen.
Amen.
You love God with all your soul. With all your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. The devil doesn't want us to come to the mind. And you can dance all day. The dance you want to dance from here to that hall and come back. It's not going to disturb the devil. Because the devil is already in the mind already. Hallelujah. If you look at Genesis chapter 3, the problem of Eve was the eye. Hallelujah. The problem of Eve. Genesis 3:5. The problem of your soul begins and ends with the mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 And that is the burden that the New Testament was addressed was made to address. Amen.
Amen.
So you have a foundation. The foundation is the natural. Amen.
Amen.
A natural church. The tabernacle of Moses.
tabernacle of Moses.
He changed to the tabernacle of Solomon.
And you wanted to get Solomon.
But David could see Father. Amen.
Amen.
David saw.
David and
And he said, "This is Zion."
Amen.
Amen. And the Bible says, "I will raise again the tabernacle of these beings which has fallen down." Now, see, the law, there is a law in the spirit. That every spirit must have a body to express his glory. I want you to understand that. Every spirit must have a body to express his glory. Every spirit must have a vessel. Amen.
Amen.
So this body is the body of the mind, of the emotions, of the desire, and of the will. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
But it doesn't stop there. But the devil wants you to believe it stops there. Amen.
Amen.
The soul itself is a body also. To express the glory of a higher spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, in God's design, the soul is the person, is the personality, it's you. So anywhere you read in the Bible, we or he, when he says we shall be sleep, we shall be changed. He says we shall not all sleep. He's saying the soul will not continue to sleep. Amen.
Amen.
So we are reading class lesson. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
So anywhere you see we, change it to soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Paul said, "I show you a mystery." We shall not all sleep. Okay, cancel we.
Now.
Okay. My soul will not continue to sleep. Okay, let's go back to Old Testament. What does it say? Leviticus 25, what does it say? He said, "The land shall not be sold forever." Oh my God. You know, when I read it, I think of when I was playing football in those days. You know, I used to be center forward. Like some of those boys you see you were watching yesterday. Amen.
Amen.
When they give you the ball, you do it like this. You start running. Amen.
Amen.
Yes, you touch it and you start running. Because you know that ball must reach somewhere. Amen.
Amen.
That's what God is telling you. Say, as long as the earth remains. Seed time. And harvest will not cease. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is a law that can never be broken. God has a seed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that seed must have a body to express it. So God says to every seed, he gives a body. Hallelujah. I want you to understand that you are a body. Your body is a body. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Your soul is a higher body. To express a higher spirit. So There are different levels of energy. There are different levels of power. And it's a divine order. Amen. The spirit of man will always rule over the soul. Because the soul of man is a spiritual reality and creation that is created in the class of Elohim. Do you understand? I didn't say Jehovah. That's where we get into some problems. There is only one Jehovah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 So God says you are Elohim. That is, you have God's image. God's image and likeness. So let us make man in our image and in our likeness. I want you to know that you are bigger than Akwa Ibom. It is an insult for anybody to describe you by Akwa Ibom state. Because your nativity is from beyond. The Bible says it's from beyond the everlasting hills. It is called Melchizedek. A group and class of men who have God dwelling in them. Hallelujah.
Amen.
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 You see, there is a characteristic of every spirit. Any spirit that comes into a body must possess the body. The spirit does not argue with you. If you submit to a spirit, it will possess you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is a law created by God. Say, so whosoever spirit you submit to, his servant, you will become. Hallelujah. Well, I know we know the negative one. But please think of the positive one. Hallelujah. Think more of the positive one. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of Christ has come. Now, the Bible says that there are three things that bear witness. That word bear witness means that have the identity, that have the stamp of carrying the life and presence of God. That's what 1 John 5 says, isn't it? The blood, the spirit. And the word or the water. That water or the word was in the beginning. Was with God in the beginning. Was God in the beginning. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And that word came into the earth. And time began to run. The word that has been sent into the world is meant to be multiplied in human vessels. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible says it has three levels of walking. The 30%. The 40%. Sorry, the 60%, and then the
100%.
So, brethren, we are speaking about the fullness of God dwelling bodily in a man. Now, that is the New Testament. So we know the scriptures where Paul says, of course, says that we are the temple of the living God. But you see, it doesn't stop there. You have a natural temple. The natural temple or place of worship could be this building. But Jesus came and he began to speak of something higher than that. And he said, destroy this temple. In 3 days, I will
return.
And the Bible says he was speaking of the temple of his own body. So I'm actually speaking of this new temple. Of this living temple. Amen. And God's dealing with you is that you are a temple. Is that you are a dwelling place. You are a potential dwelling place. Amen. Now, within man, of course, we know that the soul dwells in. The soul has a spirit that's given to it. The spirit is an endowment from God, a breath. The spirit has a time that it has to go. The spirit comes into man to enable the soul to hear the voice of God. To enable the soul
to
communicate with God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the spirit is like a transmitter. Or a buying transmitter.
He's
able to relate with the heavens. And he's able to relate with the earth. To draw down the things of God. If the soul does not utilize the spirit properly, the spirit goes back to God. And then the product of the work of the spirit is examined to see the quantity of Christ, to see the nature of Christ, the harvest of Christ in that vessel. Hallelujah. And the Bible says the body goes down to the earth. So the reality of what God is saying is speaking about the soul. Amen. Now, the soul on its own is like the moon. Now, what is the moon? The moon has no light of its own. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The soul of man is like the moon. Okay, let's use a better word. It's a light holder. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
It can receive light and it can transmit light. Amen. Now, when you take away the source of the light, it returns to its normal state. And what is that normal state? Darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So Proverbs 20:27 says the spirit of man is a source of light. Is a source of light for my soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Who needs the light? My soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The soul is lighted by the spirit. So the spirit is a light source. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says, if the light that be in you be darkness,
you
say, great is that darkness. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So what is he saying? Darkness is light. Darkness is energy. Darkness can give you life. It can excite your emotion. Okay, sorry. Darkness can excite my emotion. It can fulfill my desires. Hallelujah. It can make me, my mind excited. Because it is a form of energy. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Now, for a long time, the devil has been telling us that darkness is nothing. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Brethren, there's a difference between darkness and light. Light is represented by the life of God. Amen.
Amen.
Now the Bible says in him was life.
Amen.
Amen. And that life was what?
The light
of man.
The light of man. So in this light, in this room, there are two types of energy. Light or darkness. The life of God or the carnal life. Amen.
Amen.
I don't know if I'm communicating. There are two types of kingdoms. There are two types of heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Two types of heaven.
Heaven.
The heaven in which light predominates.
Heaven, heaven. Are you okay?
It's called proper heaven. It's called the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The other heaven in which darkness predominates. It's called hell. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are two types of energy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Which energy is your soul? Sorry, is my soul feeding upon? Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, I should take it again. There are two types of energy in the world. Which type of energy is my soul feeding upon? Because make no mistake about it. Man is born in darkness. Amen. John chapter 1 tells us that, is it not? That Jesus is the true light.
You know?
That brings light to every man. Meaning every man is in darkness. Now, what that means, there is somewhere I'm trying to go. Thank God, I think I'm getting there now. Amen. The soul is a dark place. Amen.
Amen.
And John chapter 3, 17,
18, 19, 20.
He said that for man loved darkness. The Greek word says that man is fond of. That man is in love. That man is infatuated with darkness. That the four creatures within me, they are entertained by darkness. I want you to understand. After all the beautiful songs we have sung here, God looks down upon us. He receives the beautiful songs. Because they are worship to him. The brethren, he says something to us. He said, please, can we go to work? Hallelujah.
Amen.
What is the work? There is a nature in man. And it is a nature of darkness. And that nature of darkness must be changed. Amen. When you are born again, it does not address the darkness within the soul. Now, what is it that happens when you are born again? The life of God that is in the blood, that is in the word that you hear, that is in the Spirit of God that is hovering over the dimensions of your soul, touches your soul, and it is quickened. Amen.
Amen.
It receives life.
Amen.
Amen. But that life, it does not amount to a change in nature. And that is why he says, I will make a new covenant. Amen.
Amen.
Now, God expects you and me to know better. Not just to know better, but to walk better. Hallelujah. The problem of Eve was the problem of her eyes.
Amen.
The Bible says God sees. Does God have physical eyes, brother? But he says he created you in God's image. Meaning that there is an eye in you which you are not aware of. The Bible calls it the eyes of understanding. Well, when you check the word, the Hebrew word, there are 12 places where it is used in the New Testament. The Greek word. In the 9 places in the New Testament, it is translated as mind. In 2 places in Ephesians 4, it is described as understanding. And in another place, it is described as imagination. But whichever one you take, whether you take understanding, imagination, or mind, I want you to know that there are openings into the soul of man. I want you to know that when God looks down at you, he sees openings into your soul. Correction. God created me with doorways into my soul. And the devil knows that there are entrances in my soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So, when the devil is dealing with you, he doesn't deal with you as a natural man. He deals with you as the dimensions of the entrances into the soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now, there are 5 physical senses in the body. Those 5 physical senses are also there in the spirit. Of the 5 senses in your body, the strongest one is the eye. If you close your eye, you're out of this world. Amen. If you close your eye and close your ear, you are a 7 world. If you close your eye and you close your ear and you close your nose and you close your mouth,
yeah,
You are dead.
Yes.
You are a dead man. Okay, so we are going to do an experiment now. Amen.
Amen.
So, you close your eye, your ear, your nose, and your mouth, and say how it feels like. Okay. Amen. Now, four of those five senses, as a medical doctor, they even came and put one big title in front of that title. So you should believe what I'm telling you. Amen. No, no, you don't mention that one here. Amen. Four of those senses are linked to the brain. It is a message to you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Today they are talking about what they call the emotional brain. Today there is something called emotional science. I don't know if there are any guidance or counseling, management people that are this way. Management has changed. If you like, have to age from here to Abba and come back. If you are not emotionally matured, you will not get the job of a manager.
Okay.
Anyway, that's a distraction. I don't want to. The four senses and the fifth one, which is that of touch, they have centers in the brain. Amen. What is God saying? Now, in the brain, the brain is linked to the mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The brain is linked to the mind. Because Paul calls it, he said there are two types of mind. What he calls the carnal mind and what he calls the spiritual mind. Amen.
Amen.
You are what your mind is. Amen. Hallelujah. You are not going to do anything that your mind does not permit. The day God told me that, I said, therefore, bye. Amen.
Amen.
You cannot get into any situation of sin or defilement without your mind. Hallelujah. Amen. The battle is fought, won, and lost at the level of the mind. Why do you think the devil went to the mind straight? Hallelujah. The tree of knowledge of good and evil, where was it planted? It was planted. It says she saw with her eyes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
She saw, she ate the fruit with her eyes. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And when she saw that the fruit was good, she took and ate. English language. He's speaking about the head. The game is in the head. That's why God is going to behead me. And he's going to put a new head. Hallelujah! It's 7 women. God help me, I don't want to be among those women. God help us not to be among those women. See, the husband must feed the wife. The sign of a rebellious wife is that she must eat her own food. Hallelujah. She must feed herself. So there are three types of soul. The first type of soul is called the carnal soul or the beastly soul. What does that mean? It is a soul that has no relationship with God. It is the beginning and end of his destiny. Amen.
Amen.
God should dwell in heaven and leave the earth for us. There's a philosophy called Nike, just do it. You don't need God. It is a new philosophy that has come on the earth. Now, before I quickly forget, now, in the nature of the soul, the head part of the church, of the soul, is the mind. In God's divine order, the mind must rule the emotions and the desire. And the mind should command the will what to do. Amen.
Amen.
Did you understand what we are saying? We are saying in your mind, in your soul, there are four energy points. There are four areas of operation. You call it mind. You call it will. You call it desire and emotion. The emotion is helpless. It wants excitement. It wants to be excited and happy. It has no head. Where is this excitement coming from? I'm not interested. I just want to be happy. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The desires is even worse. It has the capacity to desire heaven and hell at the same time. Now, the devil saw a loophole. Now, what was it? He said, if I can change the nature of the soul, so that the emotions and the desire will become dominant, the combination of emotion and desire is called passions. They said, this girl is passionate. She has energy. She has the right kind of energy for our company. Let's hire her. What did they see in you? They are looking for passion. And this is a word to the young people. By the way, I'm a young people. You can see by Jesus Raza. Okay, my people, they know now I'm one of them. Amen. Today, the name of the game in the Bible, in the world, is what? Passion. And that's what the cell phone technology has done. Suddenly, everybody has access to passion. Multimedia. It is addressing three entrances. The Bible calls it the gates of hell. The lust of the eyes. The lust of the flesh. And the pride of life. Those are the three ministries of the devil. And their function is to feed the soul. Amen. Now, when God speaks to you, he doesn't speak to you with his emotion. And God made you feel good. Is that how God speaks to you? God deals with the mind. The mind is the east gate. The mind is the doorway into the heaven. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible said that the God of this world had conveniently done what? Locked the gate.
Hallelujah.
And it so happens that when I was born with my mind already locked. Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And Jesus says, I will address the problem. So he says, I will make a new covenant. Do you understand? I will make a new covenant. That's what I'm trying to tell you. I will make a new covenant. I will put my law in the ark. I want you to understand, the ark is your mind. Oh my God. The ark is a box, it's a container. It's made of sheeting wood. The sheeting wood has four corners. The mind has four natures. What it calls perception. Or knowledge. The sense of the ability or the capacity of the mind to be aware. To see. That seeing is into the spirit. But the natural eye sees into the natural dimension. I want you to know that there is an eye in your soul that has the capacity to see the things of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible says a priest should not be flat nosed. So, well, should not, that flat nose means that she should not be someone who cannot discern spiritual things. The mind has another nature called understanding. It has another nature called conscience, which is the seat of judgment. That is where the Urim and the Thummim begins to
appear.
I want you to understand that God made you to be a priest. And as a priest, you must wear the effort. You must have the ability to hear the voice of God. You must have the ability to receive the light of God. And to judge righteous judgment. If only you can judge righteous judgment, and you do not have the capacity to bring the righteous judgment into law, into force, then you do not have wisdom. And he says, wisdom is the principal thing. He says, it is the jewel of the bride. They say unto wisdom, thou art my sister.
He
says, call understanding thy kinswoman. He says, it shall be like an ornament upon your neck, upon your soul. The soul cannot be presented empty. And that is what the golden altar of incense is about. The holy place is a dark place. Without the lampstand, without the table of shewbread, you cannot have the golden altar of incense. The end time church has thrown away the lampstand, has kicked at God's table. Therefore, it has fallen into darkness. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
The holy place is a dark place that must be lighted. That lighting is the lighting of the Spirit and the lighting of the seven trumpets of the table of shewbread. Those are the two things that bring the change to the soul. So it says, I will put my law. The Greek word is nomos. It means law. Tradition. It means custom. It means nature. The lawyers will tell you the highest dimension of law is when the law is personified. Hallelujah. So you see a man and he is the law. If he does like this, if you come before him and he does like this, you're a dead man. Amen. If Esther was coming before Ahasuerus the king, and he does not bring out the scepter, she's a dead woman. Because the law was testified. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is the law. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He says that you are our own epistles. We are to be living epistles. Hallelujah. Written by the Spirit of the living God. But not on fleshly tables. And that fleshly table is speaking of the the different dimensions and realms of the mind. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the Bible says that the God of this world has blinded it. He says, I will put my law in
mind.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And the purpose of that is to heal the conscience. And the Bible says that my great great grandfather, who did not hear of Jesus, shall be judged by the law of God. Amen. That's what Romans chapter 2 says. He didn't need to hear tabernacle like me and you. Because there's another law. Because it's the law of the conscience. May we take notice that is the level God will judge you and me. If our Christianity is just coming to 87, what is the name of this place? It's Old Testament. Hallelujah. It's Old Testament. He is not a Jew that is one outwardly. He is a Jew that is one in the dimension of the mind. For such does the Lord God seek. Jesus said, upon all this hang the law and the prophets. You see that the law prophesied until Moses. And the prophets began to prophesy. And all of them are speaking of one thing. Say, behold the tabernacles of God. It's with man. Where? In the man. Hallelujah. Brethren, all this grammar I'm speaking is to draw our attention that God has a measurement. And it is a measurement of the temple. The measurement of the true tabernacle. And it is the tabernacle of the soul of man. Hallelujah.
Amen.
God has a measurement. And that measurement is the measurement of what is happening within me. So the Bible says that there was the first Adam and the last Adam. So the first Adam was a living soul.
Amen.
But the last Adam shall be a spiritual soul. A spiritual soul. Okay. The King James calls a life-giving spirit. A spiritual soul doesn't need anything from the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He is the Son of God.
Yes,
hallelujah.
Amen.
And as the Son of God, he shall be like Jesus.
Amen.
Did Jesus need physical food? Amen. He told the woman, I have meat that you do not know. Right now, we operate as a people whose beginning and end has to do end with incarnal
life.
And the devil has designed a dining table. And that dining table is called Babylon. Please, I want you to understand, the Babylon is not speaking of a location somewhere in the
world.
It's not speaking of some what you call church. Babylon is a realm of the spirit.
Babylon is a spirit.
Where the soul feeds. Where the soul dwells. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Every soul is under a spirit. Every soul is either under the spirit of God or the spirit of the devil. And it is the spirit that feeds the soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is the spirit that feeds the soul or determines what
you do.
I said that Babylon has become a habitation of devils. I want to end with a thought. Amen.
Amen.
Now, that thought is a thought of what is called the Day of Atonement. The Bible says on the Day of Atonement, there is something that you and I must be doing. I want to close with that thought. Because it is a timeline. It is an acid test for you. Amen.
Amen.
He says, on the Day of Atonement, which you find in Leviticus 23, says that every soul must begin to afflict itself. Why do you punish the soul if it is innocent? The Bible says the soul that sinned shall die. The punishment is upon the soul. The judgment is upon the soul. Amen.
Amen.
And the Bible says that on that day of atonement, the soul must be afflicted. The soul must come on to the place of judgment. The fire Brother Bot was talking of must begin to come upon the soul. Amen.
Amen.
Now the reason for that is that there are certain basic problems with the soul. The soul is a dark place, has a dark nature. The soul is a habitation of spirit. And if my soul is a habitation of spirit, then I am not a virgin in the eyes of a God who is a spirit. Amen.
Amen.
When a man is going to marry a woman, he desires a virgin in the natural. Is it not so? When Christ, who is a spiritual man, is going to marry a wife, he desires also a virgin. Is it not so? Amen.
Amen.
You see, we can speak all the grammar from here to tomorrow. I can call myself names from here to tomorrow. My soul must overcome. My soul must drive out all the spirits that are resident within it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The soul must be cleansed of the devils that are dwelling there. The man of Gadarene is an example of the soul of a man being a habitation of spirit. It is something that is difficult for us to believe. Yes, very true. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
There are spirits that are resident in the emotions. They are emotional spirits. They come from far down the ancestors. Spirit of anger, of love, of hatred, of strife, of contention, you know them. They have buried themselves deep, deep. There were strongholds in the promised land. So also there are strongholds in the soul. Some of those strongholds you and I have been able to break down. But the Bible says that there are some of them that we have strengthened. And in Numbers 33, it says that when you come into the promised land, and you must drive out the inhabitants, it doesn't stop there. So you must destroy their pictures. Number two, you must destroy their images. Number three, you must destroy the altars. I don't know about you. I am still struggling with driving them out. Not to talk of dealing with the effect of their occupation. Hallelujah.
Amen.
But the Bible says, strong is the Lord God that judges her. The entrance of the world. Hallelujah.
Amen.
There is a particular kind of world. It is designed of God to deal with it. It is called the seventh trumpet. It is the voice of the Lamb. It is the voice at midnight. It is the voice that is heard in the dark places in the soul. It is a trumpet of change. He says we shall be changed. At the last trumpet, we shall be changed. Who is the we? My mind that has been asleep. It says, come away, my beloved. It says, the winter is over and gone. Hallelujah. It says, the voice of the tornado is heard in our land. It says, in the moment, in the snapping open of the eyes of the soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I shall be changed.
Amen.
I believe that this night I am being changed. Tomorrow I am going to be changed. What I am today, I'm not going to be tomorrow. Because you must be a man of faith. The faith coming by hearing. And hearing the seven trumpets of God. Hallelujah. Now, the seventh trumpet has a characteristic. It is about the bridegroom. It is not about the bride. The prosperity message is the trumpet of the bride. Hallelujah. It is not meant for the elect. The elect of God do not hear that kind of trumpet. Hallelujah.
Amen.
They only hear a particular kind of trumpet. The trumpet of change. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It is a trumpet that is bringing light to the soul. He says in Proverbs, thy word is a light. So for the commandment is light. And your word is a lamp. Hallelujah. The Bible speaks of what you call the redeemed soul. I want you to know, brethren, Christ is not going to marry any soul that is not redeemed. The redeemed soul has one characteristic. It must have two wings. Two extra wings. It must have the capacity to walk and live and operate in the spirit. It must have the capacity to fly into the heavens. It must lose the ability to come down to the earth. Hallelujah.
Amen.
When the ego is maturing, it crosses a barrier. It crosses a barrier in which it loses certain capacity. It loses the capacity to come down to the earth. It acquires the capacity to continually and permanently live in the realm of the sky. Hallelujah. That is a matured ego. Hallelujah. I want you to know, brethren, that God has a standard. And that standard is the standard of the New Testament. And it is saying the soul must be awakened. The soul must be raised up. It's called resurrection. Resurrection is for the priest. In Revelation 20, it says the first resurrection is the resurrection of the priest of God. Those who have overcome the beastly nature. those who do not worship the beast. When you say you don't worship the beast, what is he talking of? He said that you resist and overcome. The beastly nature has one characteristic. Okay. The beastly nature has one characteristic. It is manipulated and dominated by the environment. It is reactive, always reactive. And the environment is called cosmos. It's called social media. It's called the internet. It's called news. Those are the lust of the eyes that control and manipulate the soul. Hallelujah.
Amen.
That is the beastly soul. And the Bible says it's like a widow, the husband is dead. The soul has a husband but it's dead. The heavenly life is dead. The Bible says, eye has not seen, or ear heard, which eye has not seen, which ear has not heard, which heart has not received that of the beastly soul. Hallelujah. Because you said that those things are revealed. The Spirit of God is revealing them. He says that the eyes of understanding may be enlightened. That we may perceive. That we may begin to see in the Spirit. There are two words in Hebrew, in Greek, they used to describe to know. That is to know, knowing God. Knowing God. The first one is ginosko. It means to have an intimate relationship. The second one is eido. And that has five different dimensions of knowledge. And it is specifically used to describe the activities of the mind. It says that no man shall say to his brother, know the Lord. Because they shall all, hallelujah,
amen,
know me.
Yeah.
That word is an active verb. One dimension of it says to see God mechanically. That is the lowest dimension of knowing God. There is another one where you have a telescopic view. That is a different one. There is another one where you see God and you begin to study God in a bigger dimension, and it's called intellect. It means the ability to discriminate between two things. Ability to see the things of God and to begin to behold. David said that I may inquire of the beauty of the Lord. The soul must come to the place where it knows the Lord. And it is called the experience of milk and honey. Why would God describe the promised land as a land flowing with milk and honey? Many of us, the things of God are not exciting to us. It is head knowledge. That's the lowest dimension of knowing God. We know all the revelations, but our emotions are not excited at God. Our mind is not enthralled by the things of God.
Amen.
Amen. But it says in his presence is fullness of
God.
And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. Brethren, in closing, Paul says that the eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that we may know the hope of our calling and the riches of our inheritance in Christ. Hallelujah.
Amen.
It's called milk and honey. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You cannot enter that land until you kill those two kings. What are the names of those two kings? Sihon and Og. Sihon means means emotion. It means tempestuous. It means emotion. It represents all the spirits that dwell and rule over the emotions. And Og means desire. It means a second. It speaks of a bottomless pit. The eye can see that sees and doesn't see enough. The lust of the flesh can never be fulfilled. The lust of the eyes can never be fulfilled. The pride of life can never be fulfilled. And God says, you must kill those two priests. Giants before we can enter. There are giants within my soul. And God says, rise up. Go over this Jordan. Begin to make war. And the Bible says, as soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth. There is a pregnancy in our soul. There is a seed that has been planted in my soul. That seed is struggling for life. It is only you and I that can give you life. Says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I also saw the Lord. In the year that these giants will be slain, I also will see the Lord. It says, wisdom has slain her beast. It says, wisdom has spread a table. And it is calling you and me. Brethren, we are being called to the New Testament. We must go beyond this Old Testament experience. Fellowship on Sunday, fellowship on Wednesday. Choir practice on Tuesday, miracle service on Wednesday. Amen.
Amen.
That is the lowest dimension. God is a spirit. And he must be spiritually worshipped. He must be worshipped in the highest mountain. The highest mountains of your soul. They are in your imagination. And that is where the kingdom of God must be established. At the top of the mountain. That is where Zion is going to rule from. Hallelujah. Zion is going to rule from all the tallest mountains in the world. The spirit of lust. The mountain of anger and bitterness. The high dimensions of offense. You and I must overcome. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And having done all, we can begin to enter the promised land. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So the Bible says, there remaineth yet a race. For the people of God.
So,
brethren, I see God bringing us into a new experience. And church has just started. Where some people who want to withdraw, that's where church is about to start. What has happened before is kindergarten. The things in the book of Acts will be kindergarten. Because the sons of God are awakening. The sons are awakening. The morning is coming. He says there is a people that are going to be spread over the mountain. Everyone will stand upon the mountains that he has overcome. Don't you understand? You can, nobody will allow you to come and stand in his own mountain. The mountain you overcome, you stand there. And you call it by whatever name you want. Hallelujah. If you go to Dubai, Nigerians are buying land in Dubai. Americans are buying land in Dubai. They tell you, you determine how you want your island to be. They determine the shape, the size, the dimensions, and they give it names. That is kindergarten. Hallelujah. Says the redeemed of the Lord are returning back to Zion. They are coming. He said, whither the tribes of the Lord go forth. Hallelujah. Don't you understand? The different tribes that have been lost in the wilderness, they have wandered into the dark region, very far away from home. They are beginning to return back. Because they are hearing the sound of jubilee. They say it is a time to return to the Father's house. Amen. And you and I must hear that trumpet. And when you hear it, there's only one response. It is the response of the prodigal son. I will arise. And I will go back to my Father. Hallelujah. Do you know our Father? The Lord that has been our dwelling place in all generations. Amen. That's why we are returning back. Praise the Lord. Okay, yeah, stop the problem. Amen. Well, you have to pardon me for just going on and on.
Yes,
amen. Amen. Okay. Amen.
God bless you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.